Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, as we look at this last portion of this glorious psalm that we have studied in the last several weeks, David comes to an exuberant, ecstatic end, conclusion. And Father, I pray that You might lift our hearts and our spirits with the wonderful truth found in this beautiful portion of Scripture. I pray, Father, that all of our anxieties, all of our cares, all of our preoccupations would be set aside right now. Father, I realize that there are some facing difficult decisions tomorrow. There are others facing difficult situations in their home, on their job. There are people here tonight worried about this and worried about that and concerned about this and concerned about that. I pray that, Father, right now, each one of us might bring those thoughts into subjection and that Thy Holy Spirit would have freedom to touch, to convict, to speak, to comfort our hearts and our lives and our minds tonight. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we come to the last portion of the 23rd Psalm. We have been in it, I think, about 18 weeks. I think altogether that we have been in the 23rd Psalm. And when I come to the conclusion of any series of messages, there's always a sadness. And there's always things I look back over the material and I look back over the text and I see many things that could have been brought out and probably should have been brought out. And this series has especially blessed my heart and helped me. And I trust that it has you too. In the 23rd Psalm, David talks about the relationship of the sheep with the shepherd. And he takes them through an entire year's experience. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." The ranch, the valley where the sheep abide in the long winter time, the green pastures down in the valley lands where the rancher lives, the sheep rancher and the shepherd lives. And then David takes us through an entire year's experience in the life of the sheep. As the winter time comes and the long trek is made up into the mountains, and He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. He prepares a table before me, the high tablelands, the high pasture lands, high up in the mountains during the summertime, where the cool breezes blow off the slopes of the snow-capped mountains. Then the autumn that we saw a couple of weeks ago, and the cold rains come and the sleet and the snow begins coming, and the shepherd brings the sheep down again off of the mountains into the valley and the pasture land below once again. This is the time of year that David talks about. It's a complete circle. David has taken us through the whole life cycle of the sheep through an entire year. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The picture of the shepherd coming down the hill with the sheep. And there are the two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy. Remember those? Trailing along behind the sheep, the shepherd leading the way and the sheepdogs taking care of the rear, protecting them and moving them onward. Now they have returned to the ranch, to the pen, to the pasture. And David very excitedly and exuberantly ends the psalm with, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I think there are about three aspects that we need to consider concerning "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This, I think, is the most moving passage in the 23rd Psalm, if not the most meaningful and the most meaty of all of the phrases that we've looked at. David was an extremely wealthy person. He was the king of Israel. He lived in a monumental palace. He had all the riches that men could afford. He had gold and silver and precious stones. His palace was almost beyond description. And yet, David talks about somebody else's house. He's not talking about the house that he has here on the earth. He's not talking about the palatial mansion that he lived in. He's not talking about his wealth and his marble hallways. He excitedly says that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's talking about another home, not his own, not his palace, not his mansion, but the Lord's house. I think the first aspect of this that we need to consider is the shepherd's care for his flock. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the very presence of the Lord. I will dwell in the very care of the Lord. David has given us all of the needs that a sheep could possibly have at any time. The need for food, the need for comfort, the need for water, the need for healing, the need for protection. All of the needs the sheep could possibly have are enumerated in the 23rd Psalm, and then he tells us how the great shepherd supplies every one of those needs. The sheep in God's flock have no need. They have no want, because the great shepherd king provides it all, and that's the message that David gives in the 23rd Psalm. And he comes to this conclusion. That's where I'm going to stay. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at what he does. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and that's where I'm going to stay. God's taking care of me, and I'm going to stay under His protection and under His care. Why, a sheep in the shepherd's fold that David describes here would be totally stupid to leave that flock, to leave the fold, to leave the protection of this marvelous shepherd that David describes. And he comes to the conclusion, I'm going to dwell with the Lord forever. He takes care of me. And you know what else? Not only am I not going to leave, nobody can take me out. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in His protection, His care, His sufficiency forever. Nobody can remove me from the flock of God. Nobody can take my shepherd away from me. I'm going to dwell there forever. I've made up my mind. I've made my decision, David says. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the first application. But then secondly, and oh, how this moves me. When the sheep come down from those very high pasture lands, the sheep have become accustomed to the high elevations and their lungs have become accustomed to breathing in the thin air and the light air. And they come down and it's a long, hard trip down the side of the mountain. Many times the trip down the mountain is much harder than the trip up. They come down more rapidly. They come down faster. And by the time they reach the valleys and the pasture lands down around the ranch, sometimes the sheep are weary and tired. And some of them are cut and some of them are bruised. Some of them are sick. Some of them are weak. And those that are sick and tired and weary or cut or bruised, many times a shepherd will go through the flock and he'll find those that are in the greatest need. And he'll pick those sheep up into his arms and he'll take them into his house. And there personally take care of them and nurture them until they're well again. David paints the beautiful picture of the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And I'm sure that David was a shepherd for a while. In fact, he was a shepherd for quite a while. I imagine that David had picked up some weak, tired sheep and he would take them into the shepherd's shack or the shepherd's house where he lived. And there he would keep them inside, out of the weather, and he would feed them by hand and he would take care of them. But David says, I'm not going to stay in the shepherd's house under his care until I get well. I'm not going to stay there just for a time until he puts me out again. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Forever! Forever! How long is forever? How long is forever? Oh, I've heard a lot of illustrations that try to explain forever or explain eternity. Probably the best one that I've ever heard, at least for me. If a little sparrow would fly to the Atlantic Ocean, and when he got to the Atlantic Ocean, the little sparrow would take and fill his beak with water, and then the sparrow would begin flying westward across the United States. And he would fly and he would fly and he would fly with that little drop of water in his beak. And when he got to the Pacific Ocean, he would drop that drop of water in the Pacific Ocean. Then he would start on his long trip and he would fly back eastward across the United States to the Atlantic Ocean again. And when he got there, he would fill his beak once again with water and turn right around and head back towards the Pacific Ocean. By the time that that little sparrow drained the Atlantic Ocean and put it all in the Pacific, eternity would just begin. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of our thinking is determined by time. All of our thinking is determined by time. Now we are looking forward to the month of May as we have never looked forward to the month of May before. And there's a time element. We've been looking forward to going on vacation and it's finally coming tomorrow morning, the Lord willing, and the car doesn't break down again. You look forward to this and you look forward to that and you look at that and all of our thinking is in relationship to time. But there is no time in eternity. The Bible says that in heaven there is no night there because the Lamb is the light. No time. No concept of day and night and hours and minutes and seconds and months and years and millenniums. David excitedly proclaims, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there we have the picture of the loving shepherd taking care of that weak, weary, tired, sick sheep, whom he has carried into his own house against his own bosom. And David says, that's where I'll dwell forever. David, I'm sure, had experienced the compassion and the love as he himself had picked up his little helpless sheep. And as he would carry them into his house and he would take care of them. And David must have realized, if I can have so much love and compassion for some poor dumb animal, if me, a human being, can have such love and concern concerning my sheep, how much love and concern and care God is going to give me when I get to His house. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then the third aspect of this, of course, deals with the second. It's heaven. Homecoming. Homecoming. Here the sheep come down the side of the mountain. Oh, the mountaintops are beautiful. The cool breezes coming through the high mesas and tablelands. Oh, they're refreshing and they're cool and it's beautiful. But oh, how the sheep like to be back home. And they rush back down into the pasture land and they see the corral and they rush for that corral. They're home again. That's what heaven's going to be like for us. It's going to be homecoming. It's going to be homecoming. People don't know what homecomings are very much anymore. Churches used to have homecomings. Very few have them anymore. Churches in rural areas would have a homecoming every year, and on that day, on that homecoming, families would come from all over the state, all over the country, And there they would come back to the church where they had grown up and where they had joined, where they had been saved, and they would come. And it was homecoming time, time for all the people that had moved away and gone away. They would go back to the church. How many of you have been to a homecoming in a church? Not very many. I'm really surprised. Even our little church in California had homecoming. Of course, everybody from that church was from the hills of Missouri and from Arkansas. Homecoming. Homecoming. And oh, what an exciting time it was when all the people would gather back together, back home. I remember when we were in college, first time I'd been away from home, and you know, I got to admit that when I first got there, it was all exciting, you know, and to be on my own and to be away from home and to be 3,000 miles away and all of that. But it didn't take long to get homesick. Didn't take long to get homesick. And every Christmas and every summer. I don't know why they did it. It must have been just to torment us. But they made us go to school until noon. Christmas and summer. Well, not summertime because they had commencement. But anyway, they would have either a chapel or commencement ceremonies on the morning that you went home. The last thing in the mood you're in the mood for is to go to chapel or commencement. Let those seniors graduate by themselves. I'm going home. And then we would go through a long, and they always picked the longest preacher on campus to preach in chapel. But I mean to tell you, when they pronounced the last amen, you had better get out of the way. It was dangerous. People had their cars parked. Everything was out of their dorm. They had everything in the trunk. They had everything in the car. And kids would run as fast as they could, jump in their cars, and out the campus they would go. And then being from California, we used to have races, how long it would take to get to Los Angeles. Four of us in a little Datsun made it from Greenville, South Carolina to Los Angeles in 42 hours once. Non-stop. We stopped for gas and that was all. We even ate in the car. Why? I wanted to get home. I wanted to get home. Now, I wouldn't admit it to too many people, but I missed Mom and Dad. And it was homecoming. And oh, drive in the driveway and toot the horn. My mom and dad would come running out the door. Now, my folks aren't very emotional. They really aren't. They're very quiet and very calm. But that was an emotional time for us. Now, Joy's folks. Now, my parents are, like I said, are very unemotional, extremely unemotional, very calm. The first time I took Joy home from school, we had begun dating. The first time I took Joy home from school, it was as though 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We got within 60 miles of Maslin. 60 miles! And Joy says, "We're almost there!" It was another hour's drive yet. We pulled into her driveway about 2 o'clock in the morning. I had never met her parents, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. The door was unlocked. We went into the door, and Joy yelled, "I'm home!" That was the wrong thing to do. This crazy lady, in a bright, bright, bright royal blue robe, came running down the hall, full speed, screaming, "My baby! My baby!" Then her father came, and that was just as bad. He has the wildest colored pajamas you have ever seen in your life. And they grabbed her, and they kissed her, and they hugged her, and they hugged her, and they kissed her, and they kissed her, and they hugged her, and they hugged her, and they kissed her. And I'm standing there thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself into? This family's crazy. They're nuts. She's a nice girl, but I can't take the family. It never got any better. I just got used to it. When she went in the door and said, I'm home, I hid behind the couch. Homecoming. Homecoming. You know, I found something. And I am not very old. I'm still a very young man. But I found something. When I was 16, 17, 14, 13, 20, you know, I'd hear preachers talk about heaven. I didn't get excited. I thought, what's to get excited about heaven? I'm enjoying life too much. And oh, I still enjoy life, you know that. But I tell you something. The older you get, the sweeter heaven becomes. The older he gets, the sweeter heaven becomes. And I'm not very old yet. But you know, it's a wonderful, glorious place to me now. And when David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that means something to me now. I don't even have many loved ones. I have a grandmother and an uncle. And a grandfather that I was very close to. But my mother and father are still living. Some of yours have already gone on before. You have so much more to look forward to even than I do. But I tell you something, folks. That little phrase, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, means something to me. It's the most moving passage of this psalm. Dwelling with the Lord. Forever. 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 David had talked about heaven before, turn after this, turn to Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 27, 1 through 3, or 1 through 6. David again proclaims, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of thy life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing! David the great king, David the man after God's own heart, David the great wise ruler, David the warrior. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. All the days of his life, all the days of his sojourn on this life, dwelling in the presence of God, but then dwelling in the very house of the Lord forever. Turn to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's preparing a place. Someone came across a very thought-provoking instance that I heard not too long ago. You look at the earth and all the beauty of it, and it only took God 6 days. And I believe those were 24-hour days. All of that beauty and that wonder in 6 days. And yet 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. If He created all this in 6 days, what do you think it's going to look like when He's had 2,000 years to prepare? David was a warrior. He was a soldier. He was a general. David knew what it was to be away from home. He would go on campaigns and be gone for weeks and be gone for months. And there he would be in the heat of the battle for weeks and months on end. But then he would come home. David knew what it was like to be in the battle. David knew what it was like to be away from home. David knew what it was like to suffer sorrow. And David comes to the conclusion, there is one thing that I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. It's my greatest desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. No tears, no sickness, no sadness, no worry, no grief, no fear, no guilt, no anxiety. No wonder David ends this beautiful, beautiful psalm with those precious words, and I will. Do you get the assurity there? Do you get the security? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No more needs. Every one of you tonight has a special need. I know that. You have a special need in your life, in your family, in your home, on your job. Your emotions, your mind, your body, your personality, your lack of confidence. You have a need, every one of you tonight. When we get to the house of the Lord, we won't have any of those. Do you ever get tired? Do you ever get weary? Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever get confused and just don't know what to do? I do. And what a promise. And I, me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If that doesn't want to make you shout glory, hallelujah, there's just something wrong. There's just something wrong. Oh, God gives us provision for today. We don't just talk about the sweet by and by. We talk about the nasty now and now. God gives us provisions for victory today. That's what the message was about this morning. We don't base everything on heaven and heaven's glories, but oh, my friend, God gives us provision for victory here, but it just can't compare with what lies over there. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a glorious thought. What a precious promise. Some of you have loved ones that just went over not too long ago. You're going to have a homecoming. You're going to have a homecoming. Can you imagine just being with the Lord? The song that we sang tonight, I Shall Know Him. I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hand. I want to see Him. I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him face to face. I want to ask questions. There's so much I don't know. There's so much I want to see. There's so much I want to say to Him. And I'll have all eternity to do it. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No one else has that promise but the Christian. Those that are part of the flock. Those that are part of the shepherd's fold. We can say, and I will dwell. That's the conclusion of everything that David's trying to say. It's the summary. It's the climax. It's the pinnacle of this wonderful relationship that we have with the shepherd. Sure, he provides all of our needs. Sure, he leads us, he guides us, he protects us, he feeds us, he waters us. All of those things. But David comes to a climax and says, and finally, and most of all, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, these feeble lips cannot even begin to tell the glory of heaven. This mind cannot even begin to comprehend what you've prepared for us. But Father, what I comprehend and what I know and what I understand and what I can communicate, Father, I can think of nothing more precious than to know that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When Paul said looking for that blessed hope, that's what he was talking about. When Paul was talking about the fact that he had run the race, he had finished the fight, but now there was a crown laid up for him. This is what he was talking about. A homecoming. We've come through the trials and the temptations of this life. And Father, you've been with us all the time. The shepherd has led us all through our journeys, just as we've seen here in this psalm. But oh, there's nothing that can compare with dwelling in the house of the shepherd forever. I pray, Father, that those that came to this service discouraged and downtrodden tonight, may they leave with a new excitement and a new exuberance about their salvation and their relationship with the great shepherd. Father, those that came discouraged, may they leave encouraged. Those that came with fallen spirits, may they leave with uplifted spirits because of this wonderful promise in your word. Father, may this echo through our minds all through this week. Father, when the hard times come on the job, when the kids get out of hand in the house, when the neighbors get on our nerves, may we remember this is just temporary. We're just traveling through because we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But Father, if there be one here tonight that does not know Thee as Savior, Father, this message really means nothing to them tonight because they know nothing of the shepherd's care, they know nothing of the shepherd's provision, and they know nothing of dwelling with the shepherd forever. I pray that they would accept You as their personal Savior this night before they would leave this building. Father, we trust Thy Holy Spirit to do His work in each heart and each life tonight. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing "Just As I Am," without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. 282 if you need your book. Our shepherd shed His blood. And that's the only way you can come to Him just like you are. A lost sheep coming to the shepherd who died for you. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. You know, this song can apply to Christians too. You need to come to Him sometimes with your failures and your discouragement and just turn it over to Him. All your anxieties, all your cares, leave at the mercy seat, the song says. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Come just as you are and let Him make something out of you. Some of you may be burdened, deeply burdened tonight, and maybe you just need to spend some time in prayer tonight. I'd like to pray with you tonight. You may be here and you may not know Christ as your Savior. You need to meet the Shepherd tonight. Whatever your need, I invite you to come.